Well, good morning to everyone. We'll be talking about the foundation of the family. Yesterday we did the framework. Okay? Today we want to look specifically at the foundation, which is actually quite a straightforward biblical principle. I want to show us also why sometimes the foundation can actually get shaken. Okay? Then after that, how we can actually focus on that. This evening, we will actually be viewing a DVD. Okay? How many of you actually have seen this before? Okay, this one is quite a good one. Yeah, Courageous. Okay, it's actually a movie, but it's actually done by a church, a Baptist church in America. Okay, and because they're very burdened for families, so tonight we'll view that. But we'll view it in two parts because it's 2 hours and 20 minutes. So we'll view the first part, and then after that we'll view the second part tomorrow evening. Okay, so hopefully it'll give us some idea, a portrayal. We may not agree totally with the music they use, which is not a lot, okay? But I think the whole principle behind the movie is actually to encourage fathers to take responsibility. Okay, some parts might be a little bit graphic. Okay, a bit, of course, there's police catch team, and these people are big, muscular guys, and they were tussling with the police and all that. So there'll be a little bit of physical involvement. Okay. But I think you will understand the background and why they actually showing these fathers actually standing up for the law and order, more than anything, standing up for their families. Okay, we're going to look at the foundation of the godly family today. Okay, very quickly, what are the 3 points for the framework? What are the 3 points? Biblical authority, and then biblical hierarchy, and the practical difficulties, okay? So hopefully God actually have answers for everything in the Bible. Sometimes we just have to search for it. And it's important for parents to begin that process, okay, in their hearts. Say, yes, if this is the way God wants us to do it, then we will put our hearts to it. For those who are from families whose dads and moms are not Christian, ensure that you have that in your heart. Practice that as a child, so that when you actually become a mom or dad, all right, you're able to practice the rest of the rules as well. Okay, the family is an institution of God. Would you agree with that? God is the one who made family. We don't have to argue about that. Okay? However, the way we live the Christian life, in our family, sometimes we dispute that. But God was the one who initiated or instituted the family. And relationships, authority, hierarchy, and the workings of the family should all be centered on God. Because it's an institution. Interestingly, it's an institution that God instituted for the benefit of His creation. Think about that for a while. Why did God make family? Why did God put man and woman together? Because there was an infinite wisdom to get them to help one another, to encourage one another. Okay? Sometimes our husbands may be down, God put a wife there to encourage. And sometimes vice versa. Okay? All these are done. It should be centered on God. The foundation, I just give you very clearly, the foundation of the family is God. Okay, let's consider a few passages. Okay, maybe we'll have, if your family, you take Deuteronomy 4:9. Okay, and then after behind, you can take Deuteronomy 4:40. Okay, we just read it together. Okay, just turn there. Okay, maybe Brother Zach and your family can read Deuteronomy 4 and verse number 9. Okay. Lest thou forget. Lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Okay. Moses told the children of Israel, take heed to thyself. The first thing Moses taught the children of Israel is, be very aware of who you are before God. Take heed to thyself. Keep thy soul diligently. The idea is preserve your soul. Keep your soul. Why? Because God knows that when the children of Israel start moving into the land of Canaan, the promised land, one of the biggest warnings of God says, when you come into the land, beware of the idolaters. Beware of the spiritual influences that are going to come. Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. That means at all points, For example, for us, like today, Yindi say, I want to go jogging by any bodyguard. Why? Because she's trying to keep herself. Okay, and then she's doing all the things you have to protect herself. Okay, so anyone, any bodyguards, please let her know. Sure. Right, sure. Well, at least he's willing. Yeah. But keep thy soul diligently. Now, protecting the external is one thing. Like, for example, I know right now my Jeremiah's in the police force, they are saying that they're coming out with a heavier vest for every policeman, which they're all complaining. It protects them, but it's going to be heavier. Okay? It does protect them in a firefight. It's actually supposed to actually help them. But they don't get into firefights a lot in Singapore because you cannot... It's illegal to hold a gun unless you are against a terrorist or people like that. But you know what? God wants us spiritually to keep ourselves. Keep us so diligently. What is it that God wants us to keep? Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Humans are prone to forget. Do you agree? We are prone to forget what people have done for us. But more than anything, we are prone to forget what God has done for us. The good things, the blessings. It's interesting because God actually says, lest thou forget. Forgetfulness is something that sometimes affects the relationships between husband and wife. Sometimes the first thing in counseling, when there's a crisis, what I will do, and sometimes maybe you help your friends, sometimes you may see, you may have a friend in marriage difficulties, and you know, have you seen couples just fighting one another? You want to let me talk? What I'll do in that kind of setting, and maybe y'all can learn this as you maybe help someone else, is firstly, go back. Why did you marry her in the first place? Why did you marry him in the first place? Okay? Besides all the other things, there must be attraction, there must be love, there must be that closeness. Otherwise, you wouldn't, a guy is not going to just, I'm not going to look any other girls, just you. And similarly for the wife, the very fact that you married each other is because of this attraction, this love you have. Okay? In the same way, for those who are not married, remember this is a very important principle. Relationships are not bound together by the things of this world. It just will not work. Money, career, money you can earn. Agree? You can work hard, you can earn a lot. But the heart issues, if God has provided for us the heart, the love of someone, cherish that. Okay? So but God says, take heed to yourself, lest thou forget the things which thou hast learned. Thine eyes have seen, lest it depart from the heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Interestingly, that as you see your children grow up, you're supposed to not teach them, but teach their grandchildren, your grandchildren as well. Okay, so that's something that God put. Okay, Deuteronomy 4 verse 4, the next one. 4 verse 40, sorry. You ready? 1, 2, go. Which I command this day. Moses reiterated, but this time he went before, he said, thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee. It is God's will that all his children obey him. Okay, it's God's will in this walk of life, in many things that we are unsure of, as family members, whether you are a father, a mother, or your child, for dad and mom, you always constantly have to sometimes make decisions with regards to where you're going to live, what job you're going to have, you got a project coming out, how you're going to help that. For your children, as you grow up, is maybe you're concerned about their careers, their future, decisions that have to be made. And in all these things, God says to keep his precepts, keep his principles, keep his word, because God knows about life. He knows the last day that we will live on earth. He already knows that. And you know that every step of the way, that every decision we're going to make, what decision we should be making. And interestingly, God actually gives us direction so that we can be guided in the decisions of our lives. When we choose not to follow His guidance, that's when we stumble and fall. That's when we begin to make decisions out of the way that ultimately sometimes can hurt the family, can hurt our friendships as well. Okay? Keep His commandments, which I want this day, that it may go well with thee. That's a promise. You follow me, it will go well with you. That's a promise of God. God didn't promise you no trials, but He says that if you follow me, you'll be fine. Kind of like mountain trekking and all that kind of thing. If you're following certain principles and safety, I'm not referring to Mount Kinabalu now, but if you know that this is the track that you want to go, and there are safety things already put on, you just follow that road, you'll be fine. Okay? And I think in this situation, it was just a natural calamity no one has control over. But how many of you remember this guy in, I think it was in Cameron, the guy that walked out and was never seen again? What's his name? Remember that guy? That's Nang Mo guy, yeah, correct. His name. And anyway, he just wanted to go for a walk, and he was never found after that. And the biggest manhunt in they're trying to find a person in Cameron. What's his name, huh? Jim. Jim Thompson, correct. Jim Thompson. It sounds like the daughter of Garfield. I don't know. But I mean, the poor thing, guy just walked out 15 minutes, never seen him again. Just then, you know, a lot of I think they even got the locals, the natives of the land to, I think they were the Dayak or the Iban, not Iban, the Brunei, going into the forest to try to find, just cannot find, just disappear from the face of the earth. Okay, we don't know whether it's a beaten track, whether it's a proper track, or he went down somewhere, or he fell off and was never seen out again. We know for us as Christians, as we walk in the wilderness of this world is not going to tell you what God wants you to do. This world will only want to chew you up, corrupt you, destroy you, and make sure. Of course, this world will give you all the... You can get things from this world. Don't you definitely can get things from this world. You just say, after you get things from this world, it's not going to drive you to God. Okay? But God wants us to follow Him so that it may go well with us. Okay, just remember this principle. When you look at this two, you realize that God wants us to put the foundation of what God says. The foundation must be a strong structure. You cannot use weak materials. I think it was Springfield Secondary School, I think in Singapore, they built new one, the roof collapsed. Remember there was one in Hougang, I think the whole roof collapsed. Thank God it was just newly built. But many of the construction, unfortunately in Singapore, they're using inferior materials. Okay, you see cracks after a few years, that kind of thing. So that, you know, if you try to build family structure using inferior quality materials, family will crack. It will. Okay? So when you look at this, God says, I want you fathers to center your thinking, your direction in life, your guidance on what I say. Don't forget the things that I have done for you. Put your loyalty and allegiance squarely on who God is. Remember, God is just, Christianity is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with a Heavenly Father who cares for us as we walk through this world. So if you have families, God is concerned for the whole family. If you're a Christian in a non-believing family, God is interested in you being the light there, and He's going to guide you through. Okay? Yes, sometimes there are issues that crop out of life that sometimes we feel hard to deal with. But God says, if you will follow me in my word, I'm going to give you an answer. Again, God has answers for everything. Okay? So the foundation must be anchored in God, not by lip service only. Many Christians call God their Savior, but does not make God head of their lives. Remember yesterday? Christ is the head of the man. It means more than just a position. It means that the person looks to God, Christ, as his entire livelihood. Everything, what kind of character I have, the words I use, what kind of family my family will become depends on how close am I to the Lord. Okay? Now let's read the next one in Psalm 78, verse 5 to 7. This one is the anchor for dads and moms. But let's look at Psalm 78, verse 5 to 7. Okay? Psalm 78. We will read from verse 5 to verse 7. Okay, let's read together. Ready, one, two, go. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. God told the children of Israel, in verse 5, he established a testimony. That means that he set it as a law in Israel. Because another name for Israel is Jacob. So he established a law. What is the law? That he commanded his father that they should make them known to their children. It is mandatory that every Jewish father teach their child the Torah. It's mandatory. Okay? It's interesting, even the Jewish Talmud actually say, if it is required for every Jewish father to teach every Jewish son the Torah, the Pentateuch, and if not, you're not giving your child inheritance. You can give them $1 million, but you don't give them the Torah, you didn't give them inheritance. Let's put it this way. Your children may have $1 million, but $1 million can go very fast. But you have the spiritual heritage in your heart. It's going to last in a lifetime. The principles, the guidance will help them. That's why God appointed a law in verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, which should declare them to their children. What's the reason, verse 7, that they might set their hope in God? They set my hope in God. If we live without God in this world, we have a hopeless existence. Or we can have a lot of things in this world. One of the hardest people to reach are people who are very rich. Why? Well, why do you think so? Because they think they have everything. In fact, the Bible says, Jesus said it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The main reason why it's hard for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven simply for one thing, because a rich man sets his heart on his riches and his dependency is on the riches. That's why it's very hard to get through to these rich people until God breaks their foundation, until they have nothing left. Then they realize, actually, money, easy come, easy go. My mom always say, well, the paycheck come in, next day, half of it gone. Why? Pay this bill, pay that bill, groceries, students, whatever, you know, piano lesson, and all the kind. You work so hard the whole month, and the next day, within half a day, all gone. Sad, right, sometimes, but that's the reality of life. But I think the principle here is God wants us to set our hope in God rather than the things of this world. Okay? That the children may declare it in verse 7, that they might know the works of God. And three things, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. To set their hope in God gives them a foundation. To not forget the works of God gives them assurance. And keep the commandments of God gives them confidence in this life. Okay? The three things. It's very important because many children set their hope in other things. In the VBS, I think it was Sean or someone who was telling me that one of the children in VBS, the stars are very important to him. You take away his stars, he's like, well, he had a hard time to cope with that. Why? And we know a little bit about his background. He comes from a family that don't really value him. Okay, don't really value him. And as a result, he don't get that assurance in his heart. So what does he do? He gets assurance in things. And one of the indicators that we look for material things more is because in our hearts we're not settled. That we don't see that life is actually much more than things. Or we need things. Don't get me wrong. We need houses. But when our heart is set on just getting those things, we put our heart in the wrong place. And that's very important. Okay? And as God's people, God wants our foundation to be in Christ so that they can set their hope in the crisis situation. I was sharing in church, what if those children that Mount Kinabalu is our children? But if our children have never heard the word of God, and we didn't make it an effort on a daily basis to share, you know, we will live with one thing: regret. Regret. Can you imagine if your child, you have never spent time sharing and you actually know, but then something happens, and you not see a child again, you will live with a regret. Every soul in hell now, everyone in hell now who have had a chance to hear the gospel and reject it will live with one thing forever. You know what that is? Regret. Why did I not trust Christ at that time? Okay, but we thank God for His grace towards us. But just a reminder for us that there are more important things in life. In the family, the foundation needs to be on God. Okay, from the New Testament perspective, I want to highlight the foundation, all right? Let's look at a few. Let's turn to Ephesians. The book of Ephesians actually gives us clear teaching on the foundation, all right? Some of the words used by the Apostle Paul tells us very clearly where our foundation should be. For the husband, in verse 25, let me just read, Ephesians 5, 25, husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church. The example for the husband is not some parenting guru. It's not Dr. Spock. Some of you know, have you heard of Dr. Spock? A parenting... That is not the pattern in loving or in parenting. And some gurus may tell you this is how, and I think there are some relationship coaches and all that kind of thing. You know, the Bible actually teaches that husbands, we are to love our wives. And the phrase for us is, even as Christ also loved the church. In the same way, the same pattern, we are to love our wives. It is Christ who is our pattern. All right, that's in Ephesians 5:25. Firstly, that's for the fathers. Then for the mothers in verse 22, or for the wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. The pattern of submission is how we will submit to the Lord. And yes, wives will submit to the Lord wholeheartedly because we know He's our Savior. Okay? But God wants that sort of submission that you have to the Lord to be the same as you submit to your husband. Interestingly, the way we submit to the Lord Jesus should be the same way we submit to our husband. That's what the Bible says. For some wives, that is hard. Okay, in some families, not here, some families, maybe they have abusive husbands. There was one real American family, and their dad is a deacon in the church and doing well in the church, okay? But the children are not very close to him, and it was found out later that dad goes home and abuses the children, makes them do things unreasonable, etc., etc. But he's a deacon in the church. Is that possible? I'm currently, I wouldn't say actively counseling, but I give support to one man, and this is a man-woman, whereby the wife is abusive of the husband. Scary, right? It's not just men abusing wife, my wife. And a wife being unreasonable, wanting... the husband has a company with his own brothers, and the wife wants a part of it. and she would tell the police things that are not right, they would go to court. And he was sharing, he was very, not so much stressed, just angry at all these things are happening. And when he went to court, he messaged me and said, he asked me to pray for him because in court the wife is saying that he's done this and he's done that and I want this. And so he came back, he SMS me, praise the Lord, God has eyes and kind of thing. He's a Christian, by the way. And he says, the judge told this lady, get out of my court, don't waste my time. It is so childish. This what apparently is still happening right now. So the abuse goes either way, but for the husband to the wives, or rather for the husband that's abusive of the wife, sometimes it's hard for the wife to say, how do you expect me to live with this guy who beats me up? You know? But sometimes it's hard. Now what I'm saying, these kind of situations, there are special conditions. Divorce is never an option. Never. But because of the protection, you may have to live apart. Because otherwise, it doesn't make logical, even biblical sense for the wife to stay under a roof that every day kids hammering. Some wives do that. We need to be careful that in that situation, the civil government has to come in to stop him, to protect the family. And both have to be willing to go for counseling. But I'm just using it as an illustration. But submission should actually be in a normal situation, as we submit to the Lord, that should be the way we submit to our husbands. You know, for the younger ladies, as you grow up, submission is a very important principle you need to learn. Very important. Okay? For the children, you're not exempted. Ephesians 6 verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's a qualifier, in the Lord. Your obedience is not because some children obey parents. You know why? If I don't obey parents, I don't get my allowance. If I don't obey parents, I don't get to go for excursion next week. You know, they're quite, they know when to, you know, turn up the heat and when to relax. No, the motivation should be, I'm obeying my dad and mom because I love God. Of course, I'm sure dads and moms are not going to tell our children to lie or steal. But you know what? In some non-believing families, children may be put to the test. But the principle of obedience, children, is to be in the Lord. Obey God first. As you obey parents in the things that are legitimate, that is God's will. Your children, as you grow up, understand this. Obey. Obedience is to be in the Lord. And that is what God wants us to do. And still in the Lord. Okay? Ephesians 6 verse 4, looking at parenting. Okay, Ephesians 6 verse 4, parenting. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. The word Olympic Games by age of 12, etc. Okay, if you live in China, maybe you know you start at 3 years old. Yeah. What I'm saying is sometimes dads may give unreasonable requirements to children, and children get frustrated. You know, I think I shared before, I've seen a child who hits the exam and doesn't want to take the exam because he knows he can't make it because dad wants him 100 all the time. Even 99 is not good enough. Literally. You actually came him for therapy to deal with things inside the heart. Now, fortunately, we have a lot of hurting children. Sometimes quite unexpected, unexpecting, or wrong. Because expectations, they are not grounded, not logical, not age-appropriate, not appropriate for that child. Many of our children feel the stress of competition and to grow up so that they can get ahead in life. Nothing wrong with doing your best, but there's certainly something wrong if the doing your best becomes the measure of the child's dignity and his integrity and his worth. You know what happens to these children? When they grow old and they find that there's someone more better than them and they cannot make it, you know what happens to them? They are crushed. Remember the 27-year-old A-star student in California who poisoned in the mineral water bottles? And apparently, months before, they were detecting that he was a bit isolated and she was feeling very stressed about all the whole thing. And she's an A-star scholar. Of course, right now they removed her because of the criminal thing that she did. And sometimes when this happens, we cannot immediately point, hey, you're wrong. Well, what am I supposed to do if there's no one to turn to? Okay? When we bring out our children, according to the Bible, fathers, we are not to irritate our children to the point of wrath. The word fathers literally means the male figure. In application, it can also refer to the mother. Because as fathers who overrule the house, parents, as we parent our child, we need to be very careful that we don't set the example. Set our standard to be the standard. You set God's standard. If God says, try your best. Okay? God didn't say get 100. If a child is doing his best, you can see he's studying. You know what? As parents, we need to buy ginseng, we need to buy Red Bull, not Red Bull. Encourage the children to keep going. When a child is tired, go and rest. I know of another girl that studies so hard, mom wants us to rest, so she'd want to rest. Okay? In that situation, all mom can do is support and encourage. Okay? But the important counsel from God's word, fathers, don't do things or say things that will irritate the children. Let me put it this way. Let's say if Jairo called, if someone calls me, don't use this word, I'm just saying, if someone calls me an idiot, if I live in the 16th century, that's a good word. The word idiot in the 16th century means someone unique, very special, with gifted talent. I'm not. Because it's, the word idios is used in the Bible. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. God, the word severally, that means if let's say Timothy in 16th century will be idios. Because it's very good in the technical stuff. But today, the word idiot has a different meaning, a negative meaning. It's a dumb. Please don't use idiot to refer to him, all right? You know, sometimes when we call that person that, or even we call a person any word that demeans that person, children feel it keenly, especially from people who says they love them. And that's a very important principle. Through our words, through our actions, we can actually provoke our children to anger. That's why children rebel. Okay, children, as you go through that, so maybe you are part and parcel of that. But remember, there's also a place for forgiveness. If you truly have a relationship with God, and you are experiencing this in some families of this world, learn to forgive. You need to. Dad and mom will give an account to God, but you have to give an account to God too. You cannot keep blaming your mom and dad. You cannot keep saying it's their fault because that's why I'm like that. You can't keep saying that. God says, no, it comes a time you have to take responsibility for your own faith as well. You need to learn to forgive and let it go. The word forgive, I'm not talking about frozen. Okay? The word forgive in the Greek simply means let it go. If you owe me $10,000, I let it go. Literally, it means let it go. I will pay, I will bear the brunt of the consequences, I will bear the loss, but I will no longer hold you accountable for whatever has happened. That's forgiveness. Genuine forgiveness literally means I will no longer hold you accountable for whatever you have done for me. To me, I will let all the consequences go. I will be willing to bear it all. But we can't do that without God's help. Because it's painful sometimes. It's painful. We need to let it go. Okay? So I just want to touch on that. But then bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In parenting, the direction of parenting is not Dr. Spock. It's not what KK Hospital teach you. Of course, in the development, there may be some real things that you can learn. But the real training of children is to be nurturing them. The idea of nurturing means to nourish them. Help them to have good attitudes. Encourage them and train them to do the good habits of life. Nourish them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The word admonition means to confront them with the scripture sometimes. Children sometimes can tell lies. But many times when they tell lies, especially when they're 3-4 years old, it's not because they intentionally want to be a liar. It's just that they got caught. No, I never do. Ajara was sharing with me. There was a person in the VBS. Ajara saw him hitting someone. Ajara came and confronted him and said, did you hit him? I forgot already. It's like, and, are you sure? Then he asked the other person, and said, did you hear him? Yes. Then this comment, are you sure you never hear him? I never punch him, I just touch him or something like that. You know. I forget already. Excuse me, who are you trying to kid? But why did they cover up? The reason why they do that is the same thing that Eve and Adam did in the Garden of Eden. Did you do that? They start blaming everyone else. Except taking responsibility. Genuine salvation only comes, okay, this our salvation, when we take personal responsibility for our wrong. And we go to God, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me. God will forgive when we come to Him. Okay? But no one will teach the children to lie. No dad, not even an unsaved dad, will teach a child to lie. Why do they lie? Because they want to protect themselves. Okay? When we find that out as parents, you know, even in our child, in love, we need to confront them. The word admonition means to confront them with what God says. If a child lies, we need to sit the child down, away from everyone, explain to the child what you did was against what Exodus 20, verse 11, I believe. Thou shalt not bear false witness. God says, don't lie. In fact, the Bible actually says in the book of Revelation, that all liars will be in hell. If you have a tendency to always lie, 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 it shows that our heart is not changed. God will have to deal with that. Okay? So, can you see that? All the instructions from the scriptures teach us that the anchoring in God For the husband, we have to love our wives as Christ loved the church. The pattern is Christ. For wives, we have to submit ourselves to our husbands as we submit to God. That's our foundation again. Children, when we obey our parents, is to be in the Lord. That's our foundation again. And Ephesians 6 verse 4, as we parent our children, it should be in the Word of God as well. Okay? And God has a lot to say about life. And we need to find that out. Okay? Any questions? So going down to this, this has to do with our motivation. Now, I said just now, Asher, why do you obey mommy and daddy? Put you on the spot. Sorry? Was it so? Okay? Sure. Really, it's challenging because our hearts do have other motivations. I think it was youth camp, you remember, about 2-3 years ago. I asked a group of primary sixers, why do you want to do well for PSLE? Hannah, why did you aim to do well for your PSLE? No, don't give me the model answer. Give me your hard answer. Sometimes it's just good to share it. Okay, when we were at the youth camp, I think I received 10 different reasons for why someone wants to. One of the reasons was the youth were giving me to prove to someone that they can do it. That's one. Another one is because mommy promised me something, a holiday or something, that's why I do well. Okay. Another motivation could be I want to prove to myself I can do well, which is possible. Okay. The PSLE is one thing. But can you see there are actually different motivations? Can I say this? Sometimes children come to church not because of Christ, because there are different motivations. As parents, we need to be able to encourage them to always have one motivation to anchor on God. And children usually in their teenage years go through different motivations and they fight before God actually helps them to find that the water level that says, God should be the only reason why you're in church, to serve Him. Does it make sense? We want to look at some different motivations very quickly. Maybe we'll get Ethan, if you can. Turn to Matthew 13:22. Then Rashawn, if you can turn to James 4, verse 4. Then 1 John 2:15, if you can get Sir Leandra. Just jump around. Okay? And this one, Matthew 6, we all do, and then Acts 2:44, we all do. Okay? We're going to look at what are some of the different motivations in the Bible that God actually says can actually be our motivation. Okay? In Matthew 13:22. Okay. One of the influences that will affect your foundation in the family. Okay? One of the things that can affect and shake your foundation, the Bible says, is the care of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches. Care of this world simply means headache. I got to pay this bill, that bill, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got this to do. Yeah, I know you got a headache, is it? Don't sit too. I'm sitting directly under the. You want to shift? I'll shift. Because otherwise, you. By the end, we'll be dealing with a casualty. Yeah. I just stay away from the. Yeah, just cover. Okay? One of the things that influences the foundation to the family is literally the cares. In Singapore, the cares of the world. We actually have a challenge. Our government is probably going to help us to keep the fact that we are the highest per capita income in the world. It's very stressful for every family. Very, very stressful. Why? Because you keep up with the Joneses. Last time, a cup of coffee was 60 cents. Now it's 110. It's like, simple things like this. On a regular basis, you are being pushed. I'm sure our foreign brethren who come to Singapore to work, many of them feel the pinch as well. Okay? But the cares of this world can actually shake the foundation. Yes, we believe in God, but our heart for God can shift because the cares of this world come in. And then we shift our heart and say, hey, we need to take care of the cares of this world. There are things, the deceitfulness of riches. Singapore children are oftentimes drilled. Study hard, get good grades, get good cert, so you can have a good job. Okay, so you earn lots of money. Okay? This seems to be the maxim, this is the principle, driving force. Education, the molding the, what? Molding the future of our nation. Molding the economic future. There was one time that Singapore made Chinese the one of the, I think they wanted Singaporeans to be bilingual. Do you realize it was a politically motivated question? Because China was rising as a strong economic power. And there was a lot of talk about learning Chinese so you can go and do business with the Chinese man. Okay? But when we get sucked into the influences of this world, nothing wrong with learning Chinese, nothing wrong with working hard. In fact, as Christians, I believe with all my heart, every student should be the best student. The pastor of one of the churches in Gilstead Road is a top student in ACS. He studies very hard, but he gives his heart to God. Every child of God ought to be a very good student. But with no intention of wanting glory, but with the intention of glorifying God. Okay, children, you study hard for two reasons, I say it many times. Glorify God and honor your parents. Okay? These are the two reasons why you study hard. Glorify God, honor your parents. Okay? But the deceitfulness of riches can pull us away. Okay, in James 4, verse 4, what's another thing that can pull us away? Which one? Okay. Friendship of this world, the Bible says, is being the enemy of God. Okay? Few points. Number one, James was talking to Christians. He was talking to Christians. And James was using a very familiar term to the Jewish people. Adultery. Because in the Old Testament, God calls the nation of Israel adulterous and adulteresses because of their spiritual adultery with the paganistic culture. For the Jews, they are very clear. When James said this, James being a Jewish, James is a half-brother of Jesus. Okay? When he preached there, he was preaching to a Jewish crowd. And this Jewish crowd knew what he was talking about. Okay? You cannot say you love God and you also love the things of this world. Because if you do that, you become an enemy of God. That's one thing. Loving this world, we become an enemy of God. But notice one thing. Whosoever therefore will. The word will there means makes a decision, have an ambition for. Whosoever will be a friend of the world. If you think, Sadly, I actually heard one pastor's daughter said this. That was many years ago. This pastor's daughter is not from our country. It's from a different country. He said this. My dad will not allow me to listen to rock music. But if he will, if he does, I will. In other words, in the heart, he already decided that she loved that. And you know the sad story about this girl? When After she went to college, she dropped out of school the first year before she got into trouble. It's a sad thing because she has not anchored her heart on God. The moment they get freedom, they do exactly what they wanted in their hearts to do, and then they get into trouble. Okay, so we need to be careful that we don't have ambitions to anchor in this world. I'm not saying biblically all of us should have plans, but these plans need to anchor on Christ. Lord, how am I going to honor you? You can be a lawyer for God's glory. You can be a doctor for God's glory. You can be... But you know what? Each step of the way, God has to lead you. And your life has to be anchored on God. Okay? Let's look at Matthew 6:25. Okay, Matthew 6:25. The cares of this life, we talked about it before. But this has also to do with the demands of life. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus actually talks about the things of this world. Verse 25, let me just read. Therefore I say unto you, don't worry, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I think I mentioned on Sunday, I like one Facebook quote said this, God didn't make me just to work and pay the bills. God didn't make me in this world just to work hard and pay the bills. There is a purpose in life. God says, don't worry. And when God says, don't worry, he means it. Jesus was speaking to a very poor group of Jewish people. And he says, look, I know you're concerned about this, but don't worry. Because in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor get into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. He says, look at the birds of the air. Which sparrow have you seen put on farming overalls, do harvesting of the wheat and put into their barns? Which one? Jesus is saying, look at the birds of the air. They don't keep in barns, they don't sow, they don't do farming to provide for themselves. But the Bible says what? Your heavenly Father feedeth them. God feeds the birds of the air. You know how many birds of the air are there in this world? Literally billions. God takes care of every single one of them. And then Jesus says in verse 26, are ye not better than they? We are a million times better than the birds. You know why? We are the crowning glory of God's creation. And God says, I'll take care of you. That's our Heavenly Father. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto your stature? How many? Asher, do you feel you're short? Not yet, you're still growing. But some ladies feel they're very short and they wish they are taller. Right? Okay? But God says, which of you by worrying can grow at one cubit unto your stature? The principle there is, what can you achieve by worrying? Can you really grow 1 feet more just because, oh, I'm so short, Lord, I want to grow, I worry so much. Okay, I'll give you. God says, what is going to, your worrying is not going to affect anything. It's not going to influence anything. In fact, sometimes it gets worse because you get heart trouble, you get anxious. Why be worried? Verse 28. And why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. You know what Jesus says? Look, the flowers of the field. He says Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In other words, God dressed the flowers of the field much better than what Solomon could have done. You know, it actually highlights how much God loves us. And therefore in 31, take no thought for saying what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we be clothed, for all these things to the Gentiles seek. The focus here in Matthew 16, our motivation is, are we just motivated by the things of this life that sometimes makes us worry? Worry can shake our foundation because worrying means a lack of trust in God. Worrying means, implies a lack of trust in God. Okay? I will speak of Asher today because, maybe Asher join. I will speak of Asher today. Okay, Asher, will you trouble your mom and dad and say, Mom, where is my lunch? You got money to buy lunch for me or not? And mom will say, of course, you don't worry. 1 hour later, Ma, where's my lunch? How come you stay at home not working one? Are you sure? Can you imagine if Asher say this to Mom? Dad, how come you never work so hard? Where's my pocket money? No, you don't do that, of course. Just kidding. But you know something? Children don't do that. Why? The implicit trust in their parents to take care of them. Does Leah Grace say, Ma, you sure you have enough money for my milk powder? You shall show me your bank account. Oh, children won't do that. Why? Implicit trust. Implicit trust. Yes. Nah, they say I have to dig for the worms. Okay. Amen. Please help me understand that you still must hear the thing for the worms. Okay? But you know what? Sometimes when we are hurt, God does still provide for us. But definitely true. Doesn't mean we don't work. If the Bible also says if we don't work, neither shall we eat. 2 Thessalonians. Paul was telling this group of Thessalonians, oh, Christ is coming soon. Let's not do anything. Just wait for Christ. Paul says, look, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's a Bible principle. Okay? So children, we have, just very quickly, before sin, God already made us to work. Work is God's plan. Alright? That's why children hate work. Because after sin, they get very lazy. They don't want to work. But God wants us to learn to work hard. Okay? So sometimes the cares of this world can distract us. You know, in some families, the cares of this world is so strong, they lose sight of the fact that God is supposed to be our foundation. They don't go to church. They don't serve God anymore. They don't put God first. Or they still speak spiritually. But there's no evidence of God in their lives. And that's a very important principle for us to understand. And then, of course, 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love the Father. If our heart is centered on the world, our heart will shift from God to the things of this world. And when we put our faith and confidence centered in the things of this world, we will slip and fall. Why? The things of this world are slippery. Things can happen. It is said last year that, I'm not sure, it is said by some people last year that inflation or recession is going to set in economically in this world because of all things are happening. Okay? I'm not too sure whether that is founded because the government will say we're going to have increment 4% this year. It could be to just, you know, sometimes they play this mind game to keep people's hope high. I don't know. So the problem, how many of you remember? I think it was a dot-com collapse. A lot of people going into, a lot of people lost millions overnight. We can, the world can promise us things. Only God we can trust. Because it's always a 50, there's always risk in that kind of business. But when we love the things of this world, we put our foundation on unstable ground, both as an individual, but especially as a family. Especially as a family. I know of a family who, when the child is 15 years old, dad and mom has already bought houses for them, put in their names. Would you like to be in the family? Said, yes, man. Yeah, okay. But you know what? Family claims to be Christians, but they smoke, they drink, they're at odds with one another, fight. Dad don't talk to mom, mom don't talk to dad. The only time they talk is fight. Would you like to become a family? So what if? So what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own family? That's not scriptural, but you know what? It does apply. You lose your own soul as well. Okay? The things of this world can also shift your motivation. And I just highlight simply the foundation for the family and let you know this because to maintain our foundation in this is a challenge. Because we have multiple things working against us. But that's where God says that's a choice that we all have to make. That we need to give our hearts to God. Let's look at one last verse, Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. Acts 2:44. I know this was an application to the early church, but I'd like to make the application to the family as well. It's very important. Let's read together. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. Ready? 1, 2. Ready? Go. Okay. 1, 2, go. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Now, in this particular passage, in the context, the early church were very united. They that believed were together and had all things common. Okay? The scriptures, as I said before, it's not talking about communism here. Okay? But they love one another so much that what they have belongs to each other. You need my Bible tape. You need my. We have people in our church, and so Pastor, you need to recce, take my car. It's a very heavy responsibility to be willing to accept a car from someone. You know, as brethren, they are willing to. Sometimes there are a few times we actually drove out to Malaysia to recce for church camp and all that kind of thing, and the brethren would just, Pastor, use the car. Never mind, I'll take bus to work. $50,000 in my hand. And so, of course, we. But you know what? God gave us possessions to use, but when our brethren needs it, we can share as well. Okay? But you know, if you apply that to the family, the Bible, all that have faith in Christ were together. It was one heart, one mind, one soul. We all have different levels of faith in our family. For some younger children, they may not have faith at all. But you know, they have faith in mom and dad. Use that to your advantage, to teach them the right things. Okay? Of course, as teenagers, as you grow up, you have faith in God. Ensure your faith is in line with the Bible and working together with the family. Because the Bible says when you believe and are together, your life is stronger. Come what may, you'll still stand. You still stand. We don't need the things of this world to encourage our hearts. Of course, we have a little bit more to be encouraging, right? I mean, encouraging as in we don't have to worry so much. But let's put it this way. Be a challenge for us to think of. Let's say today you lost everything. Pretend today you lost everything. Your bank account, your house is repossessed, the government came in. Would you still have your family intact? Everyone will be fighting one another. It's your fault. You never checked the account. You never paid the water bill. You know, in that case, you can see that as dads, we actually need to take a responsibility to manage the house. As moms, we can support that. As children, we need to put that trust. You know, at the end of the whole, let's say everything, you've lost everything today. We see our family intact. I can tell you that the happiest family will be the one. I don't care what we've lost. We still got one another. You know, that's what God wants us to have. And God was, I'm sure, quite saddened when he saw Eve blaming Adam, Adam blaming Eve for the sin. But you know what? When we put the faith of Christ in our hearts again, it is God's will to reconcile man to man again. Not just to God. But God knew the first step is always to reconcile man to God. And when that is done, then he starts working man to man. The heart of ambassador, our key, what's our church verse? Be ye reconciled to God. Because our business, by God's grace, is reconcile man to God. And in the process, reconcile man to man. Families can be put back together when we allow God's Holy Spirit to take charge. Alright? Any questions? So let's put our faith together. We may have different levels of faith. And as husbands, we need to be aware of our wife's level of faith and vice versa. And to pray for one another. That's why if a family, you pray together on a regular basis, you find that family, you grow. Okay? What about, Brother Johnny, I'm not from a safe family. Well, it doesn't stop you from praying. In fact, you need to pray more and to show the love of Christ more. And for those who are in unsafe families, it's just, I don't believe it's more difficult. It's just that you have different challenges. They have different challenges. But no, we need to support one another in this endeavor. All right? Any questions? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the attention of the people as you learn about the foundation. We actually know, Lord, the foundation is in Christ, in God. Sometimes in the midst of all the things that have happened, the influences on our families, the cares, the deceitfulness of riches, the love of this world, sometimes even, Lord, unforgiveness, can all shake the foundation upon which we need to build. Father, I pray for every family, everyone, not just families, every individual here. For us to be very clear, Lord, our life foundation ought to be in God and Christ and His Word. What He says about life. Because without that, we will really don't have any foundation for life. Because if we put our confidence in friends, friends can leave. They may go overseas to study and they may not be there. We can put our faith, Father, on finances. We may have lots of it, but God, as quickly as it comes, it can also go quickly as well. We put the things in our careers, our confidence in our careers. Father, our careers can be stable for the time being. No one really has any guarantee. Because we may be retrenched, things may happen. I hope not, Lord, but you know. But when we put our faith in Christ and our family on Christ, because the Bible teaches us Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever, we can have a firm foundation in this life and our family. With our eyes closed, heads bowed, has God spoken to you in some way? I said, Pastor Johnny, by a show of raising up my hand, I'm asking you to pray. I will make Christ the foundation of my family, my life. I just need you to pray that God will give me the strength to ensure that happens. Is there someone like that? Amen. I see that hand. Is there someone else? Amen. I see that hand. That hand too. Anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. I see that hand too. Just pray that prayer down and God moves in your heart. I want God to be the foundation. Someone else. Let's pray. Father, I pray for every father, mother, individual. And I believe, Lord, everyone here loves you with all their hearts. But God, help us to make you our foundation. That come what may, could be a disaster like what happened in Mauke. It could be something, an illness perhaps. It could be the loss. It could be good times. But Lord, as we make you the foundation that will never move. We can get wet from the trials, the rains that come. We may even fall down. But thy word teaches us that we will never fall completely because we are grounded in Christ. So Lord, for those families, fathers, individuals, brethren, brothers and sisters who have put up their hands, I pray this anchoring in Christ will be the firm foundation, Lord, that will take their families through, will take their own lives through, the thick and the thin. And then through their lives and their families' lives, the others can see the reality of the Christian faith. Of God, you who is with us always, even unto the ends of the world, we can testify always of your goodness. And by your strength and your grace, bring people to a saving knowledge of Christ. But more than anything, Lord, to bring our other loved ones, people who may not know about Christ, our fathers and our mothers, our children, our unsafe family members, that God, our heart will go out to them. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Help us to love you with all our hearts. We thank you as we continue on in this camp. Can you lead us? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.